Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Rachel Miro, I'm Penny Nelson. While most young people have the option of living with their parents as they transition to adult life, foster kids don't. A state law now in its second year lets youth extend their foster care benefits until they're 21. But even with that extra support, they face a tough road to self-sufficiency, which usually includes holding a job. In San Jose, Peter John Schuler reports on one effort to help these young adults get real-world work experience and find a pathway to a career.
18-year-old Mauro Zavala-Leon was put in foster care when he was 15. But even before that, he was on probation for underage drinking and smoking pot. So when he tried to find a job, employers just weren't interested.
I mean, I've put in applications to Walmart, Target, tons of places, McDonald's. I had friends that worked there, and they tried to refer me. But when they find out I have, like, a juvenile record, they say, well, do you have any felonies? And I tell them no. Never get a call back. I mean, what can I do?
And that could very easily be the end of the story. Even without a record, state studies show just over half of all foster youth are unemployed within 2 to 4 years of emancipation. But Zavala-Leon's group home referred him to a nonprofit called Teen Force. Founder John Hogan says Teen Force has hired more than 230 youth in Santa Clara County since launching 3 years ago. Nearly two-thirds of those were in foster care.
The foster care system rightly focuses on housing and education and even health care, but there's not enough work being done to support employment. And people cannot become self-sustaining adults without learning employability skills and without earning income.
Teen Force functions as a nonprofit staffing agency for more than 50 employers. It provides the youth with the coaching and support needed to help them keep a job and charges employers to handle taxes and insurance.
They're employing people anyway. This is the normal course of their business, so we're not asking them to do anything really that they don't already do. And yet, while they're using our services, they are funding our nonprofit because we charge them on an hourly rate more than we pay the youth. That's how the staffing industry works.
Hogan hopes this unique model will soon make Teen Force entirely self-sustaining. Right now, it relies partly on donations from groups such as the Silicon Valley Children's Fund. Executive Director Elise Coutini says Teen Force provides foster youth and other teens the connections and mentoring that most people take for granted.
A lot of our kids think that the only thing they've been exposed to is the judicial system, right? So they're thinking, I'm going to go into criminal justice, I'm going to go into social work. However, there's a whole world out there they're not being exposed to. And I think these are jobs that are jobs that normally would not be available to them.
Which brings us back to Mauro Zavala-Leon. He started off at Teen Force in a part-time job washing cars, but in January, the agency placed him with a termite control business called Planet Orange, which uses orange oils as an alternative to other more toxic pesticides.
Planet Orange is looking for, like, new employees, and Teen Force said, well, we can send you this guy, and, like, this is our best guy. From what they told me, they said that I'm the best guy, so I was pretty happy about that. I was like, thanks, that means a lot, because, you know, I try.
Zavala-Leon is in a backyard in Hayward, pumping an injector to tackle a termite-infested home. To get here, he had to pass a state test for a pest control applicator license. The first three times, he failed. But he says Teen Force coaches and his boss, Scott Mendenhall, refused to give up on him.
Scott was just like, you know what, you got to pass that test, man. I believe in you. You can do it. And it's true. I basically just needed to go with my instinct. And a lot of those, the three times I failed was because I didn't really trust my judgment.
Mendenhall says Zavala-Leon is a big asset to the company.
You know, the big thing is that we've now brought him on to be part of our team, and I expect him to be with us for a very long time and to continue to grow as Planet Orange grows.
Zavala-Leon is now making $15 an hour. He's still living in a group home, but the extra income has allowed him to buy his own food, clothing, and a computer. Now he's saving up for a car. Planet Orange's Mendenhall says he plans to take on more Teen Force workers in the future. For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuler.
Finding the right health care can be hard enough in urban areas where poverty, lack of insurance, and cultural divides create serious barriers for many people. But for rural Californians, the driving distance to services and providers is often one of the biggest challenges. As part of our first-person series, What's Your Story?, we hear from Kelly Frost of Reading.
I sometimes sit with my wife when she does her dialysis treatment. We're lucky. We only live about 10 minutes away from the clinic in Reading. But every morning, the remotes, people who live on farms or in rural towns, climb into the minivans and come from Trinity County to the west, Mount Shasta, Weed, and Alturas to the north, and some come from as far away as Susanville near Reno. They get up in the middle of the night, travel several hours, sometimes in bad weather, sit for treatment for 3 hours, and go home. And then, in 2 days, they do it all over again. When the weather turns or there's an accident which closes the interstate, the problem compounds. Sometimes they can't get to Reading, or worse yet, they get here, and then they can't get home. The social worker tells me that missing a treatment or two can also be extremely dangerous. Fluid overload, shortness of breath, nausea, even death if you miss too many. It's a bad deal. Some consider moving to Reading to be closer to the clinic or stay near family. Others can't afford to move. Others just like the rural lifestyle and feel they couldn't make it in the big city. And with the only hospital around that can deal with their chronic condition, it makes living so far away very hard. What if they need to go to the ER? An ambulance could take several hours. A helicopter? That takes time, too. And money. A lot is made of the virtue of giving people more choices in healthcare. Usually, they're talking about insurance plans, deductibles, and such. But in this part of California, choice has a different meaning, as in, you really don't have one. When you or a loved one is ill, you do what you have to do. You go where you have to go, even if it means going very far and doing what you never dreamed you'd have to do.
Kelly Frost is the Reading reporter for North State Public Radio in Chico. You can hear more health commentaries online. Just go to californiareport.org and look for the link, What's Your Story? That's the California Report for Monday, June 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. And the California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges.